Huh? How are we doing?
Okay, we're back.
We're recording. We're back.
We're back.
What do you mean we're back? We never stopped, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Nothing went wrong. In Joel's long and illustrious career, never missed even a frame.
Ever.
Right?
Ever. Cables don't go bad. Cameras don't break.
On your watch.
Never.
Not on your watch. We're flying solo again today. Solo flight. Listen. Coop is missed. He will be back, I don't know, next week. But, you know, life is life. People are people.
Yep.
But we will bring you the crime. Whoever has the time is going to bring you the crime, right?
And we have the time.
So we're bringing you the crime. And we're going to try and make it fun and flirty without our fun and flirty ambassador, Coop.
Coop Newcomb. Yeah.
Coop Newcomb.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
Told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
With this case that he wrote, it's very Coopified, right? So he's still here. He's still here. He's still working. He's still doing, you know, you can hear Coop in all of the things that are written. But
okay.
It's very Coopified in that, like, some things may sound weird coming out of my mouth, huh? And
yeah.
I don't know if he did it on purpose or what, but, you know, we'll never know. We'll never know. This is a fun case. Not fun. It's bad. It's sad, right?
It is.
It's gonna be a crime, right? There's gonna be a murder. Sorry.
And how is Baron involved in this? Chris Baron? How is he involved in this?
Chris Baron?
Yeah, this guy.
Oh, from Spin Doctors. It is gonna be a lot of fringe celebrities that sort of are connected to this case in a weird way.
Okay.
On its face, it's going to be tale as old as time, just like an obsessed boyfriend.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Tale as old as time, right?
Song as old as rhyme.
We've got a Drew Carey connection.
Oh, shit.
Do you remember Drew Carey?
Yeah.
That show?
I like that show.
And then later The Price is Right.
The improv show was good.
There was that. Whose Line Is It Anyway? And then his actual show, the Drew Carey show with that. Remember that secretary lady that had the crazy.
I never watched that. Wait, triangle glasses. Right?
No, she would always have the crazy makeup, bright blue eyeshadow. She was a larger gal.
That seems familiar, but I didn't watch the Drew Carey show. I watched the improv show.
Okay. Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Drew Carey. People know Drew Carey. He's one of those.
Is he a rapist now or something?
No.
Oh.
You wouldn't think of him as like a big celebrity, but I guess he is. Everybody knows him, right?
Yeah.
All right. We are going to today do the case of Amy Harwick. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful gal. So.
That's her?
That's her. This is who we're talking about. Buckle up, Ruben. Okay? Now he's here. Now he's perked up, right?
Yeah. Ruben hates Gary, by the way. Just to let you know.
Really?
Yeah. So he'll be happy to know that Gary's not on this episode.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to do that again.
Ever. Yeah.
Ever. Literally.
So don't worry, Ruben.
Don't worry, Ruben. And also, like, I get it. Do you know what I mean? I get it. Gary has a certain set of skills, and we're trying to use that for Gonzo and kind of keep it there, right?
Yeah, he's a lot.
He's a lot.
He's a hardworking gentleman.
A gentleman.
He's a criminal, but he's a reformed dirtbag like us. Actually.
No, he is. He is,
he's
and
sober
I like
and all that shit now.
Yeah, and I like to cultivate that.
Yeah.
So we're trying to, much like the guy from Spin Doctors off the street, trying to get him, you know, back into the studio. We are just trying to do that for Gary as well.
Yeah. So sorry, Ruben.
Sorry, Ruben. You know, not all homeless drug addicts are going to be your cup of tea. I get that. He's not homeless, though. Gary would be like, I'm a fucking house, dude.
Yeah, it's true.
All right.
He's better off than me. He's like got his life together more than I do.
Right?
Yeah. Which is embarrassing. I'm 10 years older than him.
Listen.
Okay. Anyway.
Let's not. We're not comparing. You know what I mean? We're not going to compare. It's not a competition. Right? It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. So on the night of February 14th, your favorite holiday, Valentine's.
Ooh. Don't have to celebrate that.
Nope. February 14th, 2020, police responded to a 911 call made by a man who claimed he had been woken up by the sounds of his roommate screaming. When they arrived on the scene, they discovered the battered body of 38-year-old celebrity therapist Amy Harwick laying on the ground underneath the balcony of her apartment. It appeared as though she had fallen from the second story of the building. Whether she had fallen on her own or if she was pushed was unclear. Crazy scene, right?
So first thing, what do you mean celebrity therapist?
So we'll get into her life after that. She really was like, she was kind of, she was well known, lived in the Hollywood Hills, was a therapist, well known in these kind of fitness and, you know, model communities like that.
Okay.
So it that felt like a entertainers.
Red flag at the gate to me, though. Just like if I was hanging out somewhere and a girl was like, oh, I'm a celebrity therapist.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be very hard for me not to go like, girl, do you know what I mean? And not victim blame. It's going to be very hard for me to be like, well, right? And I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it. She was very actually accomplished, smart, hardworking, like...
She's
but she was into a lot of different things that we'll get into in this episode. So severely injured and unresponsive, Amy was taken to a local hospital for emergency treatment. Sadly, Joel.
Did she die?
She died of her injuries. Yeah. Two hours later, the death of the popular therapist opened a murder case that was nearly a decade in the making.
Not even 10 minutes in and there's a dead body already.
This is why, because Coop's not here. He was like, guess what, Joel?
Dead people.
Murder. Or suicide. Or accident.
Two stories?
We don't know.
Who dies from two stories?
Off your balcony. I think onto dry, like onto cement.
I used to jump off the second story roof of my house all the time.
Well, you were jumping. If somebody pushed you, it'd be harder for you to get right.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if you fall, it's harder to like get your bearings. But no, I hear you. Jumping, you know, having control of where you're going and stuff, different, right?
Right, right.
The death of the popular therapist opened a murder case that was nearly a decade in the making. Being so well known, there was no shortage of suspects. Police would have to use all of the resources at their disposal to determine if Amy's death had been a tragic accident or cold-blooded murder carried out by her ex-boyfriend. And the host of Price is Right, Drew Carey. He's got to be a suspect. He's an ex. They were engaged.
Wait, they were together, actually?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amy Harwick. Let's get into the life of Amy. Let's put up a fun pic of Amy Harwick.
Here's another one.
Was born outside of Philadelphia on May 20th, 1981. As an infant, she was actually put into the foster care system, and was eventually, as a younger child, adopted by a couple named Tom and Penny Harwick, who she had a very strong relationship with and called mom and dad. Didn't even really talk about her foster care situation or being adopted. She was like, these are my parents. Amy wasn't perfect, but she was a good kid. She did well in school and had plenty of friends and had what some might call, but we already know she has We already know she has it, right?
Oh yeah, she's dead already. She had a smile. Yeah.
So she had a smile that would light up
the room.
Yeah. Oh, and she actually literally lit up the room with her fire dancing, which she also did. She was into a bunch of stuff, Joel.
She was into it.
Yeah.
Was she like hippie shit?
more like entertainer, more like go-go dancer entertainer. And then she also did like the, you know, the fire swinging shit and the like putting the fire in the mouth.
That's the shit in Ventura when
you, on the pier,
like,
remember?
2 in the morning by the pier. Yeah. There'd just be like some chick in a G-string spinning fire sticks around.
It's hard to pin this girl down as far as like what she really is. Like, she would be giving lectures at Pepperdine University and then like at
and
night
surfing.
At night be doing like these fire dances. So she was like all over the place, but like, why not, right? Who cares? When she was in her teens, Amy developed an interest in psychology, which would lead her to move to the West Coast to attend school in LA. She took to the city of angels like a fish to water. As a young, attractive, and intelligent woman, Amy had no shortage of opportunities, both in her career and in her love life. Didn't take her long before she was rubbing elbows with the rich and famous residents of Hollywood.
Oh, wow. Look at this.
Let's see. Yes.
Here we go.
There's a picture of her doing, I mean, she was very...
She's hot.
Very sought after, right? So if you're having like a Hollywood party that you're going to have these kind of performers, you're not going down to the people at the Hollywood Pier.
Yeah.
You're getting that hot ass girl that can do, and she's a sex therapist, and
that's a therapist I'd want.
Right?
Look at that.
And she can do the fire things. Like, that's like a high class.
Yeah, that'll get you out of depression easily.
Right? This is how the sessions go.
Yeah.
I just do this fire entertainment for you, and you're better magically. She continued to go to school even while spending her evenings at exclusive clubs or the Playboy Mansion. So at this point, when she's going to school, she is hot and she's an entertainer. She's going to the Playboy Mansion. Amy graduated from California State Polytechnic University before going on to obtain her master's degree in clinical psychology from Pepperdine University.
Okay, so she's a badass. She's just playing the game. She's in there. She's doing the work. She's doing that Hollywood shit. Yeah, and succeeding. Good for her.
Yeah.
Until she...
Sorry, I read that out of context. But yes, although... So she started mingling with the people of Hollywood, you get higher and higher, you do these parties, you start talking to people, whatever. Although she continued to pursue psychology, Amy's first career break came from her work as a celebrity personal trainer. So then she's also doing personal training. I mean, this is the gig economy at its finest. Yeah, yeah. She's doing everything that you would do. Her knowledge of fitness and raw sex appeal put her on track to becoming the next Richard Simmons. And while she may not have been as attractive as the host of Sweating to the Oldies,
Coop,
she made up for her shortcomings with a magnetic personality. Amy found success in her career as a personal trainer, even releasing a series of fitness DVDs using the stage name Amy Nicole. Find that. Despite the success, she still had a passion for psychology. Wearing skimpy clothing and gyrating on camera wasn't fulfilling, so Amy decided to make a career change. She left the subtle sexual world of personal training to join the overtly sexual world of being a Playboy bunny. Why wouldn't you?
Look at this, Jesse. Amy Nicole's fit to rock.
Fit to rock. I mean, again, I cannot pin this girl down. Every picture is different. She's either like a doctor, like right?
The lockers behind her.
I know. Like, what fucking year was this?
And
yeah.
If you want to buy me flowers,
just go ahead now. And if you... Oh, love it. Love it. That was the era.
Volume one.
Wait.
DVD.
With music by Cavette.
Continue the Lie, Hot Lights, and... Killola?
Killola.
Okay.
All right.
We'll play that after the show.
Yeah, we will get in shape all of a sudden. So she became a Playboy bunny, got into that kind of world. It seems as though there was nothing Amy couldn't do. Whatever project she put her mind to was successful. She not only found fame as a personal trainer and a Playboy model, she also made a name for herself as an entertainer, like we said, with the fire. Amy would get jobs at upscale parties, either as a bartender or performer. Her specialty was eating fire. Eating fire.
I mean, that's right? Hot. I'm in. I'm a big fan. I wish I knew her back then.
Right? While some people in her position would ride the wave of fame straight into the gutter, Amy had no intentions of giving up her dream of being a psychologist. She continued to go to school, even while spending her evenings at the exclusive clubs, like we said. She graduated from California State Polytechnic University. Okay.
And then got
a master's from Pepperdine. I mean, that is... This is...
She did all the shit.
She did all that stuff and was a doctor. Sexual, intellectual. So again, it's like you are so fucking smart. And then you wear... But again, at this time too, it was very new to be like, hey girls, like it's cool to... It's okay for you to also be...
Yeah,
to know about your sexuality, to own it, to not feel bad about it. This was like the cutting edge of that.
Good for her.
Good for her. Being intimately familiar with sex and relationships, Amy decided she wanted that to be her specialty. After getting her master's degree, she continued on to get her PhD from the Institute of Advanced Study of Human Sexuality. Although the school was not accredited, it is still closer to being a doctor than most people get. School's not accredited? What the fuck?
What does that mean?
It's not like a... It's almost like a certificate. But she was already a doctor. You know what I mean? She was already master's in psychology. She was just kind of doing these extra areas.
I like how hard she works. I'm into that.
Yeah.
I think it's badass. Honestly, not joking around. I think she's sweet.
No, seriously.
So far, yeah.
Seriously. Where it's like... And again, like we were talking about with Gary, like... If she didn't like drink, do drugs or anything like that. She was just like,
just
had
hustling.
A lot of energy and was just hustling and trying to make shit.
So this is
work.
Like the female Gary. Is that's what you're saying?
Right. But no drugs. No. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, if she drank, right. Or did anything like that,
she would have fucked it all up.
Something would have gotten down and dirty and dark. Right. I don't know. But when you're in the
like falling off a 2-story balcony.
Exactly.
Fuck.
She was so smart, but just... Okay, so considering her social circle, it's unsurprising that Amy had a few celebrity boyfriends. As a young, attractive, former Playboy model, she had her pick of the litter. She used her magnetic personality and sexual allure to land one of the most sought-after bachelors in Hollywood. The one and only Drew Carey, right?
Yeah, they are.
They are.
But they actually...
And he's this... I think
sweet
he's
together.
Sweet. Yeah. And like...
He was probably good to her.
He took her on her... The first date he took her on was to Disneyland.
Oh.
And I go...
Oh,
whoops. Bud. And then he said, get your friends together. I'll take you back. Funny enough, though... A lot of Amy's friends are dudes. So like her best friend is a dude, her roommate's a dude. She has a lot of dude friends.
A lot
her
of dudes
group.
Around.
Yes.
Kind of a red flag, kind of.
I think it might be hard for a lot of the way that she looks and the way that she acts, which is like some would, you know, very flirty.
They don't want to fuck me, I promise.
That's just like my personality. Like I'm just like really outgoing. Like I'm not flirting. It's just like that's me.
Yeah. Don't worry, Drew.
And I just like I don't know. Like I just don't get along with girls. I get along with guys better. One of those.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. I don't know.
No,
but
it's true.
It's true.
But maybe in a good way, out of respect for her. Maybe it was like in a good way.
Look. She had a bunch of dudes around her that wanted to fuck her but knew they weren't going to.
But Drew did.
But they would do anything for her, right? So there's my best friend, whatever.
He'd never try to do anything like that.
Oh, what?
Don't
yeah,
worry.
Oh.
Don't worry, honey.
What? Okay, so your roommate's a dude.
Yeah.
Your best friend's a dude.
Hugh Hefner is your friend.
You're like a... Okay. No, I'm cool. I'm cool with it, right? So Drew Carey and her dated for only a few months before becoming engaged. And there's nothing to report weird about this relationship by all accounts. It was very cute and nice. And
so he wasn't enough for her. He was too good. He's a good boy.
Right.
Bored.
Amy's relationship with the most handsome man to ever rock a flat top haircut wasn't meant to last. As you said, Joel, you knew it. After a whirlwind romance, she and Drew ended their engagement in 2018. According to public statements made by Carrie, they remained on good terms after breaking things off. We will never hear Amy's side of the story since she conveniently died under suspicious circumstances on Valentine's Day 2 years later. So we don't know.
Coop hates Valentine's Day, and you can tell already.
Yeah, well, who does? Who is like, oh, I love Valentine's Day? Nobody. One fucking likes it. No one.
Nobody. That's
kids. Kids in school that are handing out the candies
the heart candies. Yeah.
Little kids. That's it. It is not meant to be a grown-up holiday. It's so stupid.
That's part of why I married my wife. I've said this before on the show, but they don't celebrate Valentine's Day in the Czech Republic. So like, she is just like, no, like there's no. It's not talked about. We don't even talk about it.
What a great country.
Great country.
What?
I don't have to do Valentine's Day ever again in my life. Do you know how awesome that is?
It's amazing. Yeah. Because even when you go like, when both people go like, oh, fuck it.
We're not doing it. Then you still
on
have to
the
do
day,
it.
You still are kind of like, oh, you didn't. Well, you didn't do anything. It's like, you said you didn't want anything. And I'm like, I know it's obviously, but it's also Valentine's
but also
Day.
So get me something.
So it's just like this big mind fuck, horrible holiday. Horrible.
Yeah. Not for me. Like
gosh.
It'll just pass. And there's none of that passive aggressive shit. The
good
next day,
for
not
you.
Like, where are the flowers? None of that. I'm free.
Good for you, bud.
Yeah. Thanks, baby.
I'm free. He said, as previously stated, Amy was a woman with many options. Drew Carey might have been the best option, but he wasn't the first. In 2010, 7 years before her relationship with Carey, Amy met a man named Gareth Pursehouse. What? Yep.
There he is.
Gareth Pursehouse. Now, this guy's 6'4", 225, good looking.
He looks a lot different than Drew.
A lot different. Good looking, built,
yeah,
ripped, dude.
A lot of gel in his
hair. Well, I think he's on some kind of yacht, you know, boat there.
Oh, he might be.
Right?
He might be wet in that.
So
yeah.
It's wet. It's one of those.
Ooh, he's nice and
perfect
wet.
Amount of stubble.
Perfect teeth.
I will say, doesn't look. You said creepy.
Yeah, this
but
one
I think
creeped me out. When
that
I first
one's
saw
creepy.
This. Yeah, the
but
side
like,
hair is weird.
Really just looks kind of like a just normal Hollywood.
Just a dude, yeah.
Dude.
Another actor trying to succeed. Yeah.
Looks like he'd be on soap operas, whatever. He's probably too tall for that, but he was definitely trying. Do you have his headshot somewhere there?
Ooh, I'll look for
it. I think in that first one I sent you, there was a bunch under. One of them might have been a headshot, a classic headshot with like the blue kind of clouds behind. Gareth Pursehouse, besides having the worst, weirdest name ever, Gareth was a handsome IT technician with aspirations of becoming a famous comedian. Well, gosh, we know a lot of those, don't we? Or a famous actor, or a famous photographer.
He thought he was funny.
Long story short, Gareth just wanted to be famous. He was one of those. But again, in LA, not weird. Not weird that someone's just like, I just want to be famous for whatever. Like, I don't have a talent that I love. I don't really have a passion that I'm into. I just kind of like want to be famous.
Look at that one.
Look at that one.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. That's, yeah, that one's creepy too, though. He's got something creepy in his eyes.
Yep. Almost like a black. He's got like a dark eye where it's like you can't.
There ain't no lake on this, in
no,
this photo, Jesse.
No lake here. All gel, right? All
gel. Up, dude.
Yeah.
Let's see what else I can find.
No, but that's good because we're going to look at a link now that I sent you. So he was just trying whatever he could to be famous. He was one of those. He would have taken whatever he could get kind of thing. As an example of his skills, here is a clip of Gareth making an appearance on Kill Tony.
No,
I don't know
so
how
crazy. He's on Kill Tony.
How international or national Kill Tony is, but it's a big Austin. Is it huge?
Yeah.
Is it a huge show?
I've heard of it.
It's a big Austin to do.
Yeah,
right?
He's like selling out arenas now.
Selling out arenas. He just did Madison Square Garden. So I joke when I say, do people know Kill Tony? Yes, they know Kill Tony. But famously, he does it here in Austin and started it here.
And Gareth is on.
Gareth did Kill a segment.
I got it up right here. All right. You ready?
Let's see hear his skills.
Oh, God.
Here he is. One more time for Gareth, everybody. Come on.
Hello, everybody.
Okay.
Let me spin around this. There we go. Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here in all the best parts of entertainment. We've got most of a band. We've got morning radio sound effects. Sometimes a full band when a toy kazoo comes from the ground, raises from the grave, takes over Tony and starts singing.
It's not what
wonderful.
I thought it'd sound like.
It's a wonderful
like.
Time.
Dorky, huh?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound so, how he looks. Oh, Tony does not like him. Tony does not like a murderer, interesting enough.
All the troops out of Syria, right? And then ISIS got loose. They're knocking on doors, running away or something like that. I don't know really how it works. And I thought
fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You should have asked Tony that it's a bad idea because he has broke the bank relying on the pullout method. Quick.
Here he is, one more time.
That was it?
That was it? That's all we got?
Yeah, it cut out after that.
Well, anyways, that
changed my whole, like, my perspective of him. He sounded different in my head.
Yes.
That just...
If you're watching the show, or if you want to look him up, Gareth Purse House, just like it sounds, yeah. Purse House, looks like kind of a hunky...
Yeah,
badass
he was buffing
dude,
that video
right?
Too, but
sounds like
gay.
Though
a little fruity, a,
an
kinda.
IT technician, which is what he is, right? So, once again, a person that is, you know, full of surprises, right? Full of surprises.
He's, is he gay?
No, I just think he's nerdy.
Okay,
I think he's just really. Tony did not like him. Holy shit. Like, look at that. Jailed like, you guys, up. This is jailed. A ripped, chiseled 6'4". I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Did not think he would sound like that.
No.
But again, he does have the confidence to sound like that, have those jokes, and go out in front of Tony.
And
that's some...
He pulled Amy.
Balls.
Right?
And he pulled Amy. Look, I mean, you can look past anything for...
For
a couple months, right? For a couple months. Yeah. So it was this drive for fame and success that he and Amy bonded over. Because he was like...
Okay, so he might have been a hard worker.
So he was an IT technician with aspirations of becoming a famous comedian or an actor or whatever he could get. So that hustle is, as we know, 24/7.
Yeah.
Like, you have to take whatever you can get, like... Say yes to all the fucking things, the readings, the commercials, the all of it.
You know what? I'm going to be honest. Like, he didn't bother me on Kill Tony just now. Like, it didn't creep me out. He was just kind of dorky, and he was trying to make jokes, but he also looked like...
I think
when,
he was
when
going
the jokes
to...
didn't sell, he, like, looked embarrassed. Like, he was...
Right.
Not a... I thought it was going to be, like, a jock asshole vibe.
Not yeah, no. It anyway. Was interesting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting to hear that voice come out of that. Face and body.
Yeah.
I think he was going too hard to Tony.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if you go for Tony, it's got to be fucking good.
And otherwise, Tony's closet gay, so he probably was like, I'm going to fuck this guy. So
right.
He's acting like he was.
He's been doing the game on
yeah.
him. Yeah. So they bonded over their ambition and hustle, basically, much like Amy Gareth had moved to Los Angeles to pursue his dreams. Unlike Amy, he hadn't been nearly as successful. Aside from being conventionally attractive, Gareth had none of the other qualities Amy had. He wasn't exceptionally funny. He had a grating personality and was the kind of person that got called a douchebag so often that it was essentially their nickname. Despite his lack of good qualities, he and Amy hit it off and began dating. I wonder why, Amy. And girl, I get you.
Mm-hmm.
I got you. Amy and Gareth had one of those shitty relationships. Now you say shitty, I say exciting, but shitty relationships that we all end up having at some point. They fought constantly and always seemed to be on the verge of breaking up, but for some reason stayed together or got back together or what have you. Amy's friends hated Gareth. Amy's family hated Gareth. The Kill Tony audience hated Gareth. Pretty much the only person that liked Gareth was Gareth himself and Amy for a little bit.
Holy shit.
A common struggle that many adopted children face in the fear is the fear of abandonment. Gareth made sure that Amy never felt this fear by always being around. Like, God. A lot. Gareth never left Amy's side. Even when she wanted him to, his overbearing clinginess quickly became the first point of contention in their relationship. When the clinginess turned to physical abuse, Amy knew it was time to break things off.
What kind of physical abuse?
Really,
Do we get into that?
No, but pretty hardcore. He was kind of like a rage monster. So like they would be fighting. She recounts
really?
One time.
He doesn't seem like that.
I know. Well, it's pent up, right? Don't you feel?
He's pretending all the time and
it's
then he
like,
snaps.
It's like pent up. I'm a good guy. Ha 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 ha. That kind of thing.
Ugh.
She recounted one time they were fighting, having a fight, and she kind of just like threw a pillow at him. And he like grabbed her, slammed her down on the ground and was like slamming her head onto the floor. Like she
what?
Threw a pillow and he fucking raged out and beat her up, right? So strangled,
fuck?
Like choked her, like all the fucking stuff.
I literally was about to say, I don't know where this is going, but I don't think he did anything. And now that you said that, now
yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? Fuck this guy.
Yeah. Very, again, like super clingy and obsessed and like, that may seem really nice in the beginning, and then it gets like, whoa,
gets
dude.
Old fast.
Whoa,
and
dude.
And then scary.
And then scary, yes. So after a year and a half of dating, things finally came to a head between Amy and Gareth, leading Amy to end the relationship in 2012. A guy like Gareth doesn't give up easily, though. It's one of those things where it's like romantic comedy style, where you're like, I know you're saying you don't want to be with me, right? But I'm going to keep showing up and like surprising you and like, be places, and you're like, no,
just leave
those movies alone. Taught us really horrible ways to not take a hint, right? And not respect people's boundaries. So it took a few domestic disturbances and finally a restraining order to convince Gareth that things were over. Even with the restraining order, he continued to try and contact Amy for months before finally giving up.
Good God.
Yeah. So this is something that she's kind of quietly dealing with because you don't really, you at this point too feel kind of bad about getting into the relationship or feeling like maybe you did something to make, you know, and she's a therapist at this point. So she's trying to like deal with it in that kind of way
right.
without just being like, fuck you, get out of here, trying to be like, okay,
she feels bad for him,
which every time she tries to do that, it gives him some kind of in. And with these people, you have to like, just, so she like blocked on everything, which made him even more mad. So now, you know, he finally gave up and Amy continued on with her life. So this was 2012. She continues on her life. And her career as a sex therapist exploded, leading to appearances on talk shows, podcasts, and multiple speaking engagements. In 2014, she wrote and published a book called The New Sex Bible for Women, which
Ooh.
I've heard of, which implies the existence of an orthodox sex Bible for women, which there isn't. But the book was a success, leading to even further growth in Amy's career. As a former Playboy model and sex therapist, Amy would often get invitations to events for the adult film industry. Oftentimes, she would decline the invitations because it's not a great look, right? To go to those. Have you ever been to one of those?
No.
Like an adult, like they would have SHOT Show in Vegas. Every year there was SHOT Show. Simultaneously would be the adult film like convention.
Oh shit.
And it was just, you know, the best of the best, right?
Have you gone to those?
I've never been to like an award, you know, like the adult film award shows or the thing. Really?
Like just to see what it's like. It's like you know, we just did that DreamCon thing. It's like Comic Con, like, but with porn.
With porn,
like,
and just
it's kind of creepy, but I bet you it'd be a good time.
But it really is like, just like taking once, pictures right? with them, and like, you know,
yeah,
that's their Oscars.
Recognize a couple of them.
I'm sure. That's their Oscars.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I can't find a picture of this book.
The new sex Bible for women. No, Amy.
Yeah, I searched her name.
A-M-I-E.
Okay, I found one, but it's low quality.
Okay, let's see. I thought it did quite well.
But here's what I'm seeing. It's like her on
top. Okay.
Is that him in that?
Oh, that's book release and author signing. Is that him? No.
There's somebody she's on top.
There's somebody she's... Okay, so the cover of the book is her...
I can't zoom in on it, but...
I guess tying something around this dude's neck and pulling it, and she is...
Or she's choking him and undoing her bra?
Yeah, she's... Doesn't even look...
I can't tell because the text is right over it.
Yeah. Anyways, it looks like a porn novel, really.
Yeah.
And not a reputable sex therapist, like, guide.
So she's kind of wild. Good for her.
Yeah. Well, that was her whole thing, is kind of destigmatizing like any kinks or anything like that, making you not feel ashamed about it.
Right.
So now we're in 2014 when she wrote the book. Yeah. And her career is growing as a former Playboy model and sex therapist. Yeah. She would go to these get invitations to these adult film industry award shows or parties or whatever. She usually declined, but in January of 2020, she agreed to make an appearance at an adult film award show in Los Angeles. It was there that she would see a familiar face for the first time in nearly 10 years.
Oh, God. Is it him?
But listen to this. So the award ceremony was like any other that you would see on TV, except fewer pedophiles. But the stars and their guests paraded down the red carpet in front of crowds of shouting photographers and journalists as they made their way into the venue. We know about that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Mostly the photographers were yelling at us to get out of the way
so that someone else
could come down the red carpet. But hey, we know.
We had our time.
We had our time for them to tell us to move it along, right? And that was fun. They'd be like, no, don't know her. Literally, I heard that. From a photographer, don't know her, keep her moving. At an award show that we were like up for an award, but just saying, whatever. But so the photographers are yelling at her like, Amy, blah, 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 over here. And she looks over at a voice calling out to her, and a man holding a camera called out to Amy as she walked past him on the red carpet. Unlike the other photographers, he wasn't asking her about her book or what designer dress she was wearing. The man was too preoccupied with accusing Amy of breaking his heart and ruining his life. It was Gareth Pursehouse of Kill Tony.
He was there?
Yes.
Okay, wait, so, before we move forward.
And I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but he was a photographer as well. So like, we don't know if that was his gig now. Okay, before
actually, so...
Go ahead.
I'll go back to us on the red carpet in a second, but I actually found what you're talking about. That's him. As a photographer.
He's wearing the same thing as he wore on Kill Tony. He only has one nice outfit.
Yeah. And he's got looks like he has a little shitty camera.
Reflector.
Yeah, a little bounce.
That's not even like open correctly. So like, is he there because he knows she's going to be there? I don't know. 10 years later with no contact. Nuts.
It's been 10 years?
Yes. since the restraining order, although we do know
he's gigging. He needs money. He's having to take
photos. That's what I mean. So it's like
he didn't succeed.
It was just a maybe chance encounter that like reignited his bullshit. Because she had stayed under the radar, again, blocked on everything. All of her friends, everyone blocked everywhere. So he did not have access to her. I think she probably even lived in a different place. Maybe. I don't know. She maybe lived in the same place.
He just happened to be there. Okay, quick.
Okay. What do we have? Oh, look at us, babies. This is right at the Independent.
Right before they told us to get out of the way.
At the Independent Spirit Awards. Look at all of us.
That's Jesse on the right and that's me on the left.
Yep. And yes,
not
this is
awards.
Right. Not winning awards. And we're there, you know, actually up for a couple, right?
Yeah.
But
the Cassavetes and then
the whole time that they're taking these pictures, they're telling us to get out of the way.
Yep.
They're like, okay, we got it. We got it. And we're like, no, we're staying here, motherfuckers. Take our picture.
Bitches. I was shit faced. And I took like 2 bottles of Jameson from that place.
Oh my God, dude. I got so wasted that night, bro. Talked to Lou Diamond Phillips forever about cooking.
Yes,
by the
really?
Fucking, it was so fun. He was awesome, by the way. It was fun.
Seth Rogen said my name on stage because I was nominated.
That's right.
But I didn't win, but.
Hey, listen.
I lost to the artist, and I was tied with Midnight in Paris. I'm pretty proud of that, to be honest.
No, it was fucking great, dude.
Cool.
And
we
were up
good.
For Cassavetes.
Yeah.
But we were up
lost
against...
Lost to like $1 million movie. Ours was $17,000.
If that, bro.
That's what we came up with. That was the number.
Yeah, because it was actually -90.
Yeah, it was
that
just...
I was owed. Yeah. No, it was like, no. Like
this was made with, it was made with
it
Del
was made
Taco.
With nothing. Nothing.
Zero.
Favors and fucking whiskey is what it was made with.
And it was fun.
And it was fun and great. It's called Bellflower. But yeah, Cassavetes Award, if you guys don't know, is meant to be like the best low budget, not shitty, but like movie that was made for under $500,000, which doesn't sound, it sounds like a lot of money, but like we were so much less than that. And I think Pariah won, right?
Yeah,
which was,
they had like a $2
million
budget. $2
million budget. I don't know how they even got in the category, but look,
we should have won that
it's
one.
It's been rigged since 2010, right? But anyways, that's our fun little story of, being a little bit acting
almost famous
for a second, right?
And now to ring it back in, here's another weird thing that Amy made that I found.
The best food steps.
Foot steps.
The best foot steps. What? Amy Nicole. So Amy Nicole is her
that must have been
model,
her, like,
playboy, alter ego. Sexy time lady. Okay, so
we're at a porn convention and they run into each other?
Porn convention. She's on the red carpet looking fucking great, I'm sure. And he's doing some gig and he just goes crazy on her. By everyone, all the witnesses, he's just like yelling at her,
wait,
laying on the ground, crying.
Shit?
So he comes out from the photographer. Line and like he goes like begging, crying, you ruined my life, you ruined my reputation, laying on the ground. She's trying to talk to him. She's in therapist mode now, freaked out, but wanting to be like, she doesn't want the scene to come back on her as well. So she's just like trying to calm him down, trying to talk to him. He is not hearing it and just had, that's why I feel like it was a chance encounter because he just lost it
when he saw her.
If he was planning it, it would have been like a calm, cool, and collected manipulation, right? But he was caught off guard and went crazy, and a lot of people saw it.
Fuck.
So Amy tried to defuse the situation, like I said, but Gareth continued to grow more and more heated. She finally was able to get away from him, but only temporarily. During the award ceremony itself, Gareth found her at a table and began berating her once again. The two of them stepped out for a short private conversation that ended with Gareth storming off. After that much time to be, oh my God, he's not even doing it. He's not even a photographer.
Yeah, he's on the side there. I don't know.
Is that Stormy Daniels? Gosh, I don't know.
Wait, that looks like it.
It does really look like it.
And that's the lead singer of Green Day with her. Right?
No, no, it's not. But it is a Timu version. So this scene is just like crazy. But although at an adult award show, I don't know how off the wall it really was, to be honest. Yeah. When Amy got home that night, she sat down at her computer and wrote an email to herself detailing her encounter with Gareth. So she, again, she's gotten two restraining orders against this guy. She is scared of him. It's been 10 years. So she knows well enough, thankfully, to sit down and detail what just happened. And now she's scared all over again. But
oh shit!
Restraining orders at the time expired. So the restraining orders that she had against him were expired at this time because they only last 5 years. Which I think since has been changed. That law since has been changed. But at this time, they expired. So
how many restraining orders have you had against you?
Against me?
Yeah.
I don't adhere to any of those rules. So I don't know. I don't know.
I've never had one against me. Have you?
No, I really...
Have you had to have one against someone?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
No. I'm not... I don't know.
We never took it that far.
Never took it that far. I never had to. No. I never had to. I didn't have anything this crazy ever happen to me. And probably either have you, right? Domestic violence stuff? No. Like, so... I've never been scared for my life from someone.
Me neither.
So, no, I have not. So she sits down and writes this email to herself. Very smart. She said, I'm pretty nervous that I'm more on his radar now. It terrifies me that he's been obsessed with me for 9 years, thinks about me every day, can't move on, cries and throws tantrums. However, I'm hoping that this interaction and the listening and giving him time may cause a neutralization in his anger towards me. Well, you hope. Amy's hopes that she was done dealing with Gareth were crushed when she received a text message from him the following day. Now, I don't know how he was able to text her. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I thought he's blocked, blocked, blocked. Girl.
Girl, you unblocked him.
Girl, I don't know.
She was trying to be nice.
Yep. Well, it sounds like she maybe texted him. It starts, I think Amy says to him, I think it was really good that we were able to speak last night. I'm sure that there's a lot more that you want to process and say to me, therapist talk, but I think that was a lot for both of us. I hope you were able to hear me last night when I said that I was sorry for anything that caused you suffering and that I forgive you for the things that you did to me. Gareth writes back, so you're still just gone, which is exactly my nightmare and sadly what I expected. Not sure if you're done because you said, how do we finish this now last night? But if we can meet again. So he's not getting it. He's not diffused.
That already sounds so fucking creepy. His reply is like...
like not getting that
toxic,
hint.
Awful.
What do you think? You're going to woo her with your crazy tantrum? Like it's... insanity, right?
Oh God.
And scary. It's scary,
yeah,
when someone
should have just
I know
blocked him again right then.
It sounds like she maybe unblocked him and texted him to make sure. There's a weird thing of like wanting to make sure that they're good so you can move on. But with someone like this, they're never gonna be good.
No.
So you're just opening it up for them to possibly feel like they might be able to get you. Gareth obviously hadn't gotten the message. He continued to text Amy over the course of the following week before she finally blocked his number. Okay, girl. Despite receiving no response, Gareth continued to send messages, leave voicemails, and send Amy emails in which he begged her to reconcile with him. His pleas fell on deaf ears because he was blocked again. I don't know.
So she's doing
I think maybe unblock shit. Maybe. Or maybe he was never.
Or maybe different phone numbers. Like he was using different numbers.
Maybe.
Never blocked.
Yeah. 1 month later, on Valentine's Day, Amy attended a burlesque show with a group of her friends. Gosh, she really loves a burlesque and a go-go dancing and being.
She's all in.
She's all in sexual stuff. Good for her. Around 1 a.m. that morning, Amy arrived at her apartment, which she shared with a roommate. a dude, because even a celebrity doctor can't afford to live alone in Los Angeles. So true. After briefly sitting in the driveway and texting with a friend, Amy went inside to go to bed. Not long after that, Amy's roommate awoke to the sounds of her screaming.
Oh, no.
Gareth had somehow found Amy's home address. So I guess maybe she did live in a different place. But look, at this time, 2020, you can find anybody's phone number, address, everything if you want.
True.
Unfortunately, while she was at the burlesque show, he had broken into her apartment and waited nearly 4 hours for her to come home in her bed. As soon as she walked into her room, Gareth attacked her and began strangling her. Hearing that her screams had woken up her roommate, Gareth dragged Amy over to the balcony. There, he threw her over the ledge, hoping the fall would finish the job he had started. Before police arrived, Gareth fled the scene.
Holy shit. I thought there was going to be some twist or something.
No.
He just fucking straight went over there.
He just
fucking killed her.
They saw each other again, and he straight went over there and waited in her bed for 4 hours.
Choked her out and threw her off a fucking balcony. What the fuck?
The police found other things at the scene that maybe made it seem like that wasn't his first thing that he planned to do. So Amy's friends immediately pointed the finger at her ex-boyfriend. So everyone that the police questioned were like, it was this guy. It was this guy. She had always said it was going to be this guy. Restraining orders. She's always been scared of him. It was this guy. They told the police about the restraining order, meeting him at the award ceremony. They told him everything. On February 15th, detectives questioned Gareth and took DNA samples from under his fingernails. The DNA matched that of Amy Harwick. Gareth was arrested and charged with murder. They also found his blood at the scene because he broke into her glass French doors. Like, it was so sloppy. Like, he broke into the French doors.
He wasn't even
broke the glass, got his blood on the ground, waited in the bed. Like, he just, there's Ring cameras everywhere, 2020 Ring cameras everywhere catching him. Like, he just, I guess, didn't care. The evidence against Gareth made the investigator's job easy. He had scratch marks from the struggle, and his DNA was found under fingernails, and blood of his was found on the scene. Gareth had also been caught on the neighbor's Ring camera and fled the scene. Police also recovered a syringe from the floor of Amy's, I think it was like the balcony or on the floor of her bedroom, that was like a syringe filled with like this brown liquid. And they were like, because there was a second where they were like, was she a drug user? Did she fall off the balcony? Did she commit suicide? Like, in the beginning of this investigation, it was lots
she's
of different.
She's not a junkie.
Yeah, and her friends were like, she literally didn't even drink. Like, she did not do anything. So they're like, what is this? Tested the syringe, and it was, apparently it had been nicotine, like high levels of like a nicotine syringe.
What the?
So
I've never heard of that.
Thinking if he went there to maybe poison her and have no one know what happened to her, that would be the way to do it. Insulin or nicotine, because when the police found her, they would be like, we don't know what she died of. Do you know what I mean?
Piece of shit.
Crazy ass. What a crazy ass. Kill Tony. Think what you will. He knew right away that this guy was fucking weird, dude.
I have a picture of him in court.
Yeah, we'll get to that one second. So they found it's just all tied. Everything tied to Gareth, right? They found the syringes, the same type in Gareth's apartment. Apparently he had initially intended to murder Amy by poisoning her.
He laid in her bed for 4 hours.
And when she walked in, apparently she walked in, saw him in the bed, freaked out. And then he chased her, which is what the roommate. So the downstairs roommate heard this happening and like I guess just kind of yelled up, and this
I can see that.
Do you know what I mean? Like, not wanting to go up and be like, hey, are they fighting? I don't want to like interrupt.
Shut the fuck up.
Right. So he's just like, hey, is everything okay? Like that. And I think that scared Gareth, and that's when he just threw her over.
Impulse chuck.
Yeah, because he was gonna poison her. That's what he came there to do. So even while awaiting trial, Gareth attempted to pursue his 15 minutes of fame. During conversations with friends and family, he told them about how his name was getting around in the news and they could possibly make some money from it.
Oh my God.
Encouraged them to sell his car and other belongings and murder memorabilia, saying it would fetch a good price considering his newfound infamy. This guy. Nuts. He even had the audacity to say they could turn all of the jokes that he had written into a book that they could sell online. Whoa.
What the fuck, dude? This guy sucks.
So he was put on trial for first degree murder, premeditated, in 2023, to which he pleaded not guilty. His defense was insane, too. Like, he actually had a pretty good defense lawyer, and they were saying that she was the one that attacked him. He just went over there to talk. And
yeah,
the syringe,
luck.
They said, was going to be for him. So he was going to go over there and kill himself in front of her. And she just, like, went crazy and then, like, was attacking him and fell off the balcony. Everyone's like, fuck you. It did nothing. It didn't sway anybody.
I could see him wanting to kill himself in front of her. That I could see, but he still killed her.
That I could see. But, like, you would have done it. And it's not very common for a tiny, you know, 5'3" girl like that to just start attacking a 6'4" scary ass motherfucker,
yeah, ripped,
right?
Dude.
Out of nowhere. Because she found, I mean, she's badass, but she's not that badass, right?
When I defend myself, I don't end up throwing a woman off of a balcony.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, she hit me. It's
she
like, well.
Me.
Can we agree? Yeah, can we agree that you took it a little too far, bud? Overreacted. So he had this insane defense that didn't sway anyone. He claimed that he had no intention of murdering Amy. He just wanted to talk to her. He also claimed he had been planning to use the syringe on himself. So Gareth was about as good as lying as he was at telling a joke, and the jury took no time in finding him guilty. On September 29th, 2023, Gareth Pursehouse was found guilty. Let's get his picture up. So he looks
a lot different
way
now.
Different.
Yeah, he's looking a
without
lot
his
different.
Steroids, right? Look at Gareth. Now look.
Still got the
you
gel.
Guys have to look this picture up because this is how he should have looked.
This fits
right?
the personality.
This is how he should have looked. And then you'd go, okay, you're a crazy person. You're an incel. You're a whatever. But somehow
he's looking
he
like
was
this.
Able to be LA-ified, steroidified, and trick this beautiful girl, Amy, into going along with this fucking nonsense. But this is the guy that killed her. This is the guy
it all makes
that
sense.
Was disturbed, right?
Yeah.
It all makes sense once you see his picture from court. So on September 29th, 2023, Gareth Pursehouse was found guilty of murdering Amy Harwick. He was sentenced to life without possibility for parole on December 6th, 2023. He also got lying in wait, which I didn't know. So it was like first degree murder with an extra count of lying in wait, which is like
or laying in the bed.
Yes,
for 4
which
hours,
is like
which is creepy
the
as
creepiest
fuck.
Fucking thing you
You're
can
probably
do.
Jerked off
like
when
laying
you...
to like kill somebody, like hiding basically,
laying in her
to
bed
to jump out and kill them.
Probably masturbating.
Lord knows. So I'm glad there was justice in this. Although, whew.
And he's alive still in prison.
Yep. Yep.
Hopefully,
and Drew, like Drew Carey, this was a big case for a second because it was like Drew Carey came out and talked about it. And in the beginning, because of all the stuff that she did, you know, the narrative in the beginning was like, oh, she was probably just like a drug user and fell off the balcony or killed herself. So there was all these different things they were looking into in the beginning. Very quickly
trying to make her look shitty,
victim shame her for all the stuff she was doing, right?
Look at them.
And I think it was
her
even
Drew
Carey
good.
That came out and was like, no, like that's not at all what happened. All of her friends were like, nope, 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 you're not even doing this. How cute were they?
Aw.
I know. He was devastated.
I bet.
Devastated. But we will now close this episode with the last joke that Gareth Pursehouse wrote while in jail.
He wrote a joke while in jail?
What is the most feminine candy bar?
I don't know what.
Hershey's.
God.
Gareth. Gareth.
Good God.
What a creepy creep, dude.
Just but totally like in denial. He's still trying to like succeed while in prison.
Yes. And it does like it brings me back to like the 2010s in LA, where again, like everyone is just this, it's this homogenized face of like hot people. Like they were both good looking LA people. You would not think for one second that that's what he was going to do, right?
Right.
And it's just like this sea of narcissistic, like hustle culture, like people like him easily infiltrated. I hope that it's different now. It's probably not.
Yeah.
But like I remember it's those times everyone was like a fitness, you know, like personal trainer, fitness model.
Everybody like, in like 90% of the people in LA sucked like that dude did.
Yeah.
Luckily, they're not all murderers, but.
But gosh, would it be easy?
What do you
anyway.
What do you think's happening to him in jail? Wait, I actually have a video.
You know of what's happening to him?
No, I haven't watched it, so I don't know. But I found a video of Amy at the Playboy Mansion doing a fire show.
Oh my gosh, let's do it.
It's a minute and a half. I thought that was a good way to end the episode. Should we watch it?
Let's do that. Let's watch it.
Okay.
Is it Burgle Cut? What are you going to do?
Oh, that would be good. No, I actually did find
you actually do? Okay, see, okay.
Yeah. Amy Nicole eats fire.
I mean,
at
you guys, this is a hot ass lady.
Yeah.
Right? Let's
go. She's a babe. All right. Also, he was probably getting prolapsed.
Oh, yeah. So he was also getting prolapsed and continues to be. And we hope that he is. But like that motherfucker probably likes it. Do you know what I mean?
Probably. Yeah.
Probably likes it. That's all he wanted.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy. Drew Carey's like, hell yeah. Okay. It's just like the fire sticks. Oh, she's like slitting her wrists with the fire. Dangerous. Not a lot of, you know, real technical movements. And then she licks it. It's kind of just waving her. You know, like the ribbons in gymnastics, you know, where they just do the ribbon. It's kind of like that.
I thought she might have some. I was hoping for some skills to show up.
Oh, wiping the fire on her butt.
Okay.
Amy.
She just didn't give
now
a fuck.
Now she is
okay,
eating the fire.
All right, she ate some fire. That's good. Good enough for me.
I mean, come on. Entertaining. Are you not entertained?
I'd watch it. I'm watching it right now.
Mia. To this song, too?
Rest in peace.
R.I.P., Amy. You were a real one. Yeah. Yeah, definitely not like the Ventura Pier fire swingers.
I was expecting like backflips.
Like that's more like a Burning Man style. This is 100% like just a little extra thing on your resume for the Playboy Mansion. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I mean, it got her there.
Hey.
It worked.
Listen. Good for her. Gareth would have all I'm going to say is Gareth would have fooled me too for a second.
He was not your type. He's not your type.
No. But yeah, I don't like
you. Like him a little.
Yeah.
You're more of a Drew Carey guy.
100%. 100%. Anyways, well, thanks for joining us on our solo episode next week. Coop will be back.
Yeah.
And RIP Amy. She was one of those cool chicks that paved the way for prolapse becoming a big thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, and not being ashamed of it.
She wasn't ashamed of it.
She wasn't ashamed of a prolapse. Whatever you're into, man. That was her vibe. Whatever you're into, man. Don't be ashamed, dude.
I think that's what she said.
No, I was getting into a spin doctor's thing there. Sorry.